Amen. All right, after a relatively brief interlude and hiatus, we now move into part four, ministry, and take out the outline that was passed out to you this morning. Part four, as we move in our continuum of our discourse in our major document, everybody repeat after me. Scripture distinctions. Actualization in eternity. From manifestation in time. Oh my God, we're going to get this, and as we do, our lives are going to be enriched. You're talking about living and enjoying life. And it won't even be about anything that's around you. In fact, it'll be in spite of whatever is around you. Our confidence will not be dictated by the occurrences and events that manifest in this life.
Thank you, Jesus.
We will transcend that through the knowledge of the Word of God that lets us know that from eternity we were chosen and elected and placed in Him, given His nature, son position, baptized, if you please, that is, identified in Him before the foundation of the world, that is, before time. That becomes the essence of us rejoicing in who we are, that regardless of what situation you might be in, the fact that you're in Christ, amen, predominates your confidence. This is what dictates your joy and feeds the emotion of whether I'm safe, whether I'm secure, amen, whether God is looking out for me, and won't be based upon whether I got a job or so. And I hope you keep your jobs and not, you're not up here saying that, amen. But oh my God, your life is more than what is apparent around you in the natural and in the physical sense. And so we move today into part four. Everybody turn to page 90. And repeat after me. Viewing the temporary worldly. From the eternal heavenly. Now, Deacon Gavin is our designated reader. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. We shall basically do a preamble today, and actually, in our next setting, actually get into the nuts and bolts, begin to get into the nuts and bolts of this. First Timothy, our focus here is chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the essence of our life, as we said, is in Christ. In Christ. Everybody say in Christ.
In Christ.
Everybody ask you where you actually dwell, you in Christ.
Right.
Now, how long have you been there? Well, let's see, I got saved. No. You are in Christ before you were ever placed in these bodies. So well, I can't relate to that. Don't go by what you can resonate with.
Hallelujah.
Don't go by what you see. Go by what you know.
Mm-hmm.
What you see is not reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Remember in the conference we were dealing with the object, and as we had laid out, Victor had laid out the illustration of depending upon what anger you were looking at, the object dictated what you saw. Now, the purpose of this document and where we have been going and conveying and teaching for the last 3 years or more is that our focus must be from the heavenlies in Christ. From the vertical viewpoint. Not from the horizontal viewpoint. In other words, our gospel and the grace writings are conveyed and focusing us on things from above.
Yes, sir.
In other words, if you're standing horizontally and you look around, all you can see is what's in the sight there.
Right.
In other words, if happiness is there and sorrow walks in front of it, what you gonna see?
Sorrow.
Does that mean the happiness is not there?
No.
But if you're in the back of you looking down,
Amen.
You may see the sorrow, but you also see the joy.
Amen.
Because you're looking down instead of around.
I hear you.
And this is where we would like to go. Because this is where the ministering of the grace message, the message of the mystery, is focused from down, not from around.
All right.
It is focused vertically with a panoramic bird's eye view. God has taken us up as we look into these writings, which are called the mystery message, and caused us to see life from the vertical vantage point of seeing it all.
All right.
Amen.
In all the areas of the Bible, do you get such deep teaching and deep comprehension. And so, as we look at this chapter, but Deacon, just first read that 18th verse and 19th also. Yes, King James.
We're reading from the book of 1 Timothy, the first chapter, the 18th and 19th verses, King James Version. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare.
What is Paul talking about? You know, I've heard people go to this and then they jump and say, hey, we're fighting off the devil, and everybody just get all excited. So, well, that's not what Paul's talking about. I thank God for pastor the years I was able to sit on him, that he taught us how to exegete.
All right,
and the first thing is, when you walk into a conversation and you hear one sentence, you're not qualified to comment.
No.
Because you have missed out on what was said before. You're not qualified to comprehend what the conversation is.
Amen.
You have to have the advantage of the entire proceedings of communication. Read verse 19.
Verse 19, holding faith and a good conscience.
Bad translation. Go ahead.
Which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck.
What is Paul talking about? So, well, you know, they went back and they backslid, and then he just started to say all kind of crazy things.
Right.
Paul was writing to his son. And those who were opposing, you never see what Paul try to put anybody in hell. But what he's focused on in fighting must go back to to the beginning of this chapter. Back in verse 3, read that.
Reading from 1 Timothy chapter 1.
Everybody got it, said amen. Verse 3.
Verse 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus,
mm-hmm.
when I went into Macedonia,
mm-hmm. why?
That thou mightest charge some
mm-hmm.
that they teach no other doctrine.
What is Paul talking about? Huh? Read that from the Greek.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, interlineal Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
As I besought thee to remain in Ephesus, going into Macedonia, in order that
what?
Thou mightest charge certain persons
mm-hmm.
not to teach differently.
Differently from what?
Come on,
sir.
Come on.
So if you were to trace the subject matter and the issue before us of what Paul is talking about,
mm-hmm.
he's talking about the message.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But not just any message.
No.
As we were saying in Sunday school this morning,
mm-hmm.
if you do not divide this Bible
mm-hmm.
according to dispensations and covenants, listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
You have a very good chance of being completely confused if you do not divide it.
Absolutely.
Paul here is writing to his son Timothy. Hold that. Go back to 18 minutes. Let's see who he's talking to. Read that from the Greek. Everybody got 1:18 from the Greek.
1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
This charge
mm-hmm.
I commit to thee, child Timothy.
Hold it. Now, here we're going to do a little, and it troubles me now. We, Pastor, you know, why we go through all that Greek and all this over some? Don't you want to know what it's actually saying? And not be held captive to some translator? Who is he addressing here?
Timothy.
And he refers to him as what?
My son.
My son, a child.
Mm-hmm.
Timothy was a protege. Paul.
Absolutely.
Paul was his mentor.
Yes, sir.
Timothy was one of the apostles
mm-hmm.
for the grace message.
Come on.
The grace message is distinct.
Mm-hmm.
If we are to take at face value what Paul conveys in the third chapter of Ephesians, he speaks of him being given a dispensation. As he said to them in Ephesus, if you've heard of the dispensation, because so many have not heard of the dispensation of grace.
Not heard.
Across America and across the world, in many congregations this morning, what is being preached is law and law kingdom.
Absolutely.
Which is different from the message of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Follow me. If it is something that is in prophecy, it is not the message for today.
Mm-hmm.
Prophecy is a good message. You go into the prophecies, you go into Isaiah, and you go into Ezekiel, you go into Daniel, and you go into Hosea, you go into, and that's what's being preached. And when you read it, it says, Hail Israel! Not talking to you. You go into the Synoptic Gospels. Go into the Book of Acts. Someone was preaching and they went into the Book of Acts. And I said, thou But your sin is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Except when Peter was preaching, he said, ye men of Israel, ye men of Judea.
Yeah. Yeah.
In correlation to Jeremiah chapter 31, whom the new covenant is given to. Because his covenant people, Israel, broke the original covenant.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the Mosaic law.
Right.
And then in Jeremiah 31, he gives them a new covenant.
Mm-hmm.
But when you read Jeremiah 31, he's specific in whom he's speaking to.
Specific.
To the household of Judah, the household of Israel. That is a different doctrine. On the day of Pentecost, Peter preaches and he quotes, what is it, Hosea?
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Yeah.
And I hear him say, you know, and this is what has brought on the big controversy in certain domination circles, because they have put this one event in Acts chapter 2 as the crux and the center and the nucleus of salvation. Peter is talking to who?
House of Israel,
house of Judah. Which one are you? No, it's spiritual. No, you are not.
No, you are not.
You're not Israel in any wise. If we are Israel, then we don't belong here this morning. They are still estranged from God. Because they have not accepted Christ. But you have accepted Christ, haven't you? If we were of them, we would still be, we would be of them, but we would be estranged from God.
Mm-hmm.
We're not estranged from God.
Mm-hmm.
We're in Christ this morning.
Yeah. Thank you.
Now some said, even around here, and I know you love me, some said, no, don't be so dogmatic. And he said, no. We follow the scripture. Stay in your gospel. Our gospel, the grace contract, which we've handed out several times, and we're going to run them off and hand it out some more, is we're in the grace covenant. Everybody say the grace covenant.
The grace covenant.
And the grace dispensation. Everybody say the grace dispensation.
Grace
is in place. Why we preach? Grace. That's why we're the grace gospel church. That's all we preach. Why are you going to say that's all you preach? Why don't you preach the law? It's good to know.
Yeah.
But I often use the expression in relationship to contracts. Deacon Gavin, who is a Ford retiree, he is contract. And it might be interesting reading for him to pick up the teacher's contract. And he might even be happy for you. for the benefits that you got out of the teacher's contract. But what would be his primary reading? His contract. We're so enamored, and basically what we do is we just all enamored and we just enthralled over Israel's contract. There are people sitting in the audience this morning listening to what God gave Abraham. These things are good to know. But the essence of your benefit comes from what you know concerning your contract. It's called the mystery. Everybody say the mystery. That's the message that God revealed to Paul. And it is conveyed in letters to those churches. Yes, we're talking about those 14 epistles. Now, some want to call us Pauline, but no, we're not Pauline. Paul's been gone 2,000 years. Now, if you want to say Christine, amen. Where did Paul get his message? According to Galatians, where?
From Christ.
From Christ.
That's right.
In the desert of Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
For 3 years.
Yeah.
A private Bible class from Christ. From Christ.
Gee.
Oh, my God. No wonder God had to put a thorn in his flesh.
That's
enough to almost sweep you away just thinking about it.
Put
goosebumps on me just thinking about that.
Yeah.
3 years dwelling of Christ receiving this message.
Thank you, Lord.
Going to the book of Acts. Those first messages at Pentecost in chapter 2 and 3, not addressed to you. Good to know, but it's not talking to you.
Nope.
Stephen is stoned in what? What's that? The seventh chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the first you hear of Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the ninth chapter, Paul is on his way to eliminate the kingdom church. But you see, that those were his plans.
Yeah, come on, Pastor.
This is why I said to you, don't get so upset because your plans get interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got the plan?
God.
All we have is imagined itineraries. Who's got the plan? God's got the plan. He has the only agenda.
Yes, sir.
He knocks them off his base.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point, he blinds them and then he sends them to be ministered to.
Yes, sir.
And then after that,
Paul
disappears. You know what Acts are those? That's the historical account. And from somewhere about the middle of chapter 9 up until somewhere in chapter 11, somebody said, where's Paul? Or was that 13? And they sent Barnabas to get him.
Sure did.
But they wished they hadn't, because when he came back, he was preaching different from Peter and different from John and different from James. And in Galatians, he declares, said, what I received was not from man, but from God. And from that point on, he told the Corinthians and everyone else, don't preach anything else. In fact, he said to the Galatians, if an angel from heaven come teaching anything else than what I've taught you, it's a curse to you. It's not a blessing. Paul, what are you talking about? When you exegete that, basically what he's saying is that that Mosaic contract, it is a noose around your neck, just as it was a noose around Israel's neck. The Lord killeth. The Spirit gives life. The Lord said, you do it or you're dead.
That's right.
No ifs, ands, and buts about it. And in kingdom law, there's an improvement. Though God got and had from the beginning something better for us. Our lives are more than what's around us and what we're going through day by day. Our lives are more than our jobs, our homes. Oh, I know this is going to cut. Our families. Now, I'm saying, not saying that your family's not important, so somebody always go the other way with that. You know, that's not what we're saying. On a prioritized basis, whatever you are doing here is temporary. This is what Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, and we're beginning to some of that as we progress. So we're not looking at the things that are seen. We're not looking at what we're seeing. What are you talking about, Paul? So we're not prioritizing it. That's not what's dominating us. But we're looking at the things that are unseen. Paul, what are you talking about? What do you mean unseen? Oh my God. You got to get into this message and go. Oh my God. And do this thing from the heavenliest eternal vantage point of what God has shown to me. Ooh, hallelujah. That we're able to see the gloriousness of inheritance. That we're sons of God. Heirs of God. Heirs of that was my And so life is more about me just going to work and so forth. So listen to this. Suppose that's all it was. You know what Paul had to say about that? He said, we are most men miserable. Hope is what? What kind of hope? Hope is an eternal hope. Is it not? Hope is an eternal hope. The only hope you have is eternal. There is no hope in this life.
Oh, no.
There is no hope in this life.
No.
How can there be hope in something that's going to come to an end? Where's the hope? When time comes to an end, that hope that is in that life comes to an end also.
That's right.
Oh, hear me this morning. God has given us more. Everybody said more. Say it again. Give us more. Oh, my word. Don't just give him a praise. A grace praise. Give him a hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No matter what you're going through, what trial you're going through this morning, you're in good shape. Life is more than just being born. And you grow up. Go to school, and then you finish school, you get a trade, or you get a degree and get some profession or something, you get married, hopefully you do it in that order. Amen. And then, you know, a few years pass, and you got grandchildren. The Lord give you some more years, and those. You great grand.
That's right.
But at some point, you checking out of here.
Right.
You gone.
Oh.
And that's not negative. That's not a negative thing.
No, no.
You know what we're reading this morning in the pastor's pen? Today is gain. That's crazy. That's scripture.
Come on.
That might seem crazy to the human mind. To the human reasoning, to human resonating. Oh my God, Paul writes for me to live as Christ, and to die as gain. Death of the body is what? Heaven with the Lord. It equals. And he was talking about the manifestation. Because you're in the body of Christ right now.
Amen.
If that's all life is about, what we've just talked about, amen, it's a joke, isn't it? Because while you're going through all of that, you're going through heartache, struggles.
I hear you.
But life is beyond that. Your best life is ahead of you.
I hear you.
No, not like the book, Your Best Life Now. That's a lie.
No.
Your best life is ahead of you.
Amen.
Your best life is your life in the body of Christ. Not what's going on now. And so, basically he writes, and I'm just doing a preamble this morning. He writes to Timothy and he's basically telling him, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of this next week. He's basically telling him, we got a war here. And the fight is over the message. That's what fight he's talking to Timothy about. Because remember Timothy, his mother was who? Eunice. And his grandmother was what?
Lois.
So he would have known the law. He would have grown up
Absolutely.
In that household.
Absolutely.
Under the teaching and knowing the law.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing perhaps kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why Paul writes and he uses that demonstrative pronoun, tafta,
mm-hmm.
which means these.
Mm-hmm.
Are these things that you have learned from me?
Mm-hmm.
This message.
Mm-hmm.
Teach. Preach.
Mm-hmm.
And don't preach more.
That's what he told me.
Remember when they had the council at Jerusalem and they had that was a real council, wasn't it? I'll leave that alone. But people just come together and fellowship. But fellowship is good, amen. But they had real business to take care of.
Yes, they did.
Because here Paul had emerged with this new message. And it was clashing with what Peter and James and John was teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
What was that, the 14th or was that the 15th chapter? They went down into Antioch.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul had been teaching the grace message.
Yeah.
And there were some men that came in there teaching that you still had to keep the law of Moses.
Right.
And the King James are pretty nice with their translation said they had no small dispute.
Small.
You read that and translate that. They went to war.
Yes, indeed.
Huh?
Yes,
Paul probably went off them.
Mm-hmm.
He writes to the Galatians and he says, "Oh, stupid." That Greek word means stupid. But of course, King James is always real nice. "Oh, foolish Galatians." That word means stupid.
Mm-hmm.
"Oh, stupid Galatians."
Mm-hmm.
Who has tricked you? Who has bewitched you?
That's right.
That here is one message that frees you, and another message that condemns you
mm-hmm.
and bounds you,
mm-hmm.
and you choose in condemnation rather than freedom.
Right, right.
So he says, stand fast
mm-hmm.
or stand free.
Yeah.
In what?
The liberty.
In the liberty.
We're in Christ.
Where Christ has made you free.
Mm-hmm.
And don't be entangled in the law.
Mm-hmm.
The yoke of bondage is the law.
Right, right.
And so the message here that we will be conveying to you as we move through this is the grace message.
Mm-hmm.
It is the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
The volume of truth that God revealed to Paul because we want that which deals with what he has done for us. As Gentiles.
Yes.
Basically.
Mm.
Even though in the body there is no such thing as a Jew or Gentile. But basically, predominantly, a man that who was ushered in into knowledge and comprehension. Because Paul himself, he said, I'm the pastor what?
To the Gentiles.
Pastor to the Gentiles.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he said, this message was given to me for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
For us. And so now salvation is not about what you do. Salvation is about what God has already done.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
I just said, manifestation-wise, I came into the knowledge of my salvation 43 years ago, but I was actually saved in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where he chose me.
Mm-hmm.
How according as he chose us in him when?
Mm-hmm.
Before the foundation, before the creation of the world. Being holy and unblemished before him in love, having what?
Having
foreordained us.
Yes, yes,
yes, yes. Pro-rezo.
Mm-hmm.
Pro means what?
Before.
Orizo means what?
To set
the boundaries. So that's where we are. And that's who we are. This morning. Now I'm going to read one or two verses. I'm going to be brief this morning. I'm just giving the preamble because I tell you, we're not going to rush through this. Amen. From here up into June next year, if the Lord wills, and I'm thinking that he has willed it, this is where we will abide. We will abide in the mystery. We will abide in the essence of those things that are written to the church. Epistle is a letter. And actually, it is a personal letter to us. It's a letter. In other words, this is information directed to you. Brother Deacon, it's like you getting your Ford contract in the mail.
Right.
And it has your name on it, right?
My name's on it.
Because there are benefits in there for you, right?
Right.
Amen. Mm-hmm. That's what this is about. And so as he writes there to Timothy in that 18th verse, just let me, give me about 5 minutes, and we're going to let out early today. It is tophtin parayalion paratithema C technon Timothy. What's he saying? My child Timothy, and I'm just breaking into words. He said this charge. What is the charge? The doctrine of the message. This charge I commit. Here we have the Greek word parathethemi. I commit to you. This message, listen. This message, if God has given you the illumination, this message is committed to you. As you understand it, it boils down to this message having been committed to you. This is your message.
Yes, sir.
Verse 3, he said, and when you get this message, he said what? Don't teach nothing else. We can go all over the Bible and say, well, you know, you all don't ever go to this. That's not true. I tell Sister Cutler, as far as she's over the youth downstairs and teaching the younger group and so forth, you can go to the Old Testament. Just tell them what it is and what it's not. You can go to the Kingdom Gospels. Just understand what it is and what it's not. It's not your gospel. It's not your contract.
That's right.
So now we don't have to try to explain the way the things that's there, do we?
Right.
We don't have to explain away turning the other cheek, do we? If you ask for your coat, give them your overcoat.
Right.
If you can pay to go 1 mile, go overboard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't have to sing certain songs out of there.
Right.
Blessed are the pure in heart, what?
They shall see God.
We don't have to be saying, it's a highway to heaven. Nobody can get up there but the pure heart. If your depraved human heart had to meet that type of stipulation and mine, you think you're going to, quote, get up there? You know. And we started making excuses. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he knows your heart.
Mm-hmm.
In the Old Testament, he is called where our hearts are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Desperately wicked. What?
Desperately wicked.
Wicked. Mm-hmm. Now, he was talking about before you get saved. Because see, now once you get saved, your heart gets all clean and so forth. No, don't confuse the new man with the old man. The new man is not the old man reformed.
Amen.
The new creation in Christ is who you are, who you've always been.
Yeah.
And who you are down here is for testimony's sake. Read this document, other document we passed out and prioritizing earthly, eternal relations so that you'll understand the limitation of these temporal relations in time,
mm-hmm.
and things in time.
Mm-hmm.
And I close with this. So as we go through this, we get into the nuts and bolts, and we start talking about viewing temporary world from the eternal heavenly. Now, we're not saying discount what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If you got a job, mm-hmm. you go there tomorrow and make sure you be on time.
Amen.
You got a family? I mean, our gospel, what Paul writes, and he said, man doesn't take care of his family, he's worse than an unbeliever. But the key word is prioritize. Everybody said prioritize.
Prioritize.
Which means what you put first.
That's right.
Because everything touching this life in this earth is temporary and will pass. My mother used to have, bodies might remember, a little saying in the front room on a little placket thing there. You have a one life. It will soon what?
Pass.
Only what's in Christ what?
Will last.
Will last. So if you juxtapose, as I finished, I told you to finish earlier. As we juxtapose, or as we compare and put them side by side, eternal and temporal, the eternal is the unseen. The temporal is what we see. And then we follow the word of God. The unseen, eternal, is forever. The seen, which is temporal, that's right, it's temporal.
Right.
The physical is temporal.
Yeah.
Now, so if you got something that's going to last forever and something that's, what does temporary mean?
Not long.
Mm-hmm. Should be a no-brainer, shouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm? But what are the churches prioritizing? The message that we heard this morning, you know, and down under the politics and all that crazy stuff, and we got to do this to keep the teapot from getting in because they're going to mess up this and so forth and so on. And you know what? You can't worry about that kind of stuff. You said, why are you going to worry about this? The only people can get in is who God puts in.
Amen.
And that doesn't necessarily mean that he endorsed them. Did he endorse Pharaoh?
No.
But he raised them up what? To show his power. To show God's power, he raised Pharaoh up.
That's right. Yeah.
And so we don't get caught in all of these things. Because things will come and things will go. Problems will come and problems will go. Challenges of life will come and they will go.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I hope to be good one day, but surely it will dissipate. Maybe moving in the vein of what they call prosperity today, but sooner or later. Even if you keep it till you leave here, when you leave here, you got to give it up.
Give it all.
Every bit of it. And so our life is about Christ. True life is about Him. Oh, the old people had it correct. Songs that we don't even sing anymore. Time is filled with swift transitions. But the bottom line is whole. Can you say whole? Can you say whole? Whole to God by the changing hands. Damn you, whole or things eternal. Can you say eternal? Can you say eternal? Whole. Can you say whole? Whole. Whole. To God, I'm changing hands. We'll take it up next week. God bless you.